Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about rebuilding lives. You can rebuild your life no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what abuse, no matter what's happened in your past, no matter where you came from in your childhood, no matter what, you can rebuild your life. You and God can change your life. That's what this whole idea of Nehemiah is all about. And that's what we've been talking about, is rebuilding your life. No matter what, divorce, you were in prison, no matter what, you can change and rebuild your life. And the Bible says God can restore what the locust has eaten. Restore means bring it back to the original condition. No matter what's happened in your life, what you've come out of, you can change your life to be what God created you to be. And that's the good news of the gospel. And this whole idea of Nehemiah was called to rebuild Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was in ruin, and it had been in ruin for 141 years. And Nehemiah was called to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The walls represented protection and government, authority. That's what Nehemiah was called to redo, to rebuild. And so the idea is we can rebuild our lives. That's the application here. Nehemiah is a type and shadow of what we can do in our lives. Remember, he was called to rebuild civil government, and then he was called to build a center of refuge, a place of refuge, a place of safety and security. And that's what we're to become. We're to become a place of refuge, safety, and security for others. Because we will go through things and we'll have real answers for real problems for other people. See, as we go through things, we become a center of refuge and safety for other people to come and share and get real solutions to real problems. We're not just going to go to church and sing songs and say we went to church. We are gathering together because we all have solutions for each other, because we've all been to different places in life. And that's the body of Christ, everyone doing their part. And so that's really the way it is. And we need each other. So last week, we talked about salvation. And I thought it was really important to bring up this area of salvation, because we got people coming to church that haven't really been saved yet. And so if they're going to rebuild their lives, they need to start out with the right foundation, Jesus. Jesus is the foundation. He's the cornerstone. And when the cornerstone was laid, you laid everything around that cornerstone. And that's what you built on. So that's the idea. Salvation begins with a relationship with Jesus. And we talked about that. And there's past, present, and future salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. But to those of us who are being saved, present, who are being saved, it is the power of God." You see, we are being saved. Remember, the word saved is the word sozo, to be made whole from many scattered parts. That's what you're doing. You're putting your life back together. You and God are presently putting your life back together. That's being saved. You're lining your life up with God's word. To be lost means to be out of alignment and out of position. You are positioning yourself and lining yourself back up with what God intended. That's what being saved is all about. So the idea is, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. People get saved through the preaching of the gospel. The wisdom of God is communicated as you preach the gospel. And so they can receive it and genuinely be saved. That's why we're to be in places where the word of God is being preached, not just taught, but also being preached. So that's what we're doing. We're preaching the word of God, right? We're preaching the gospel, the good news. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 3:15, it says after the fire, after things burned up, we will be saved. That's future. So present, future. And then Ephesians 2:8, it says, we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. That's the one we need to look at, the grace of God. We have been saved. Past, we are saved by grace. And the grace of God comes, doesn't come floating out of the air. It comes through people. It comes from God, but it works through people. As we extend grace to people, and people come in and they get saved, and they may fall down and go back into some of their old habits, but we keep giving them grace. We don't judge them. We don't criticize them. We don't condemn them. We keep giving them grace. And they are in turn strengthened by that and encouraged by that, and then they're being saved by the grace we're giving to them. Too many times people go to places and they get judged and they don't want to go back. And that's what we don't want to create, because we're the body of Christ and we're full of grace and full of truth. It says that Jesus was the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's what we are. We are the body of Christ, full of grace and full of truth. And that's what we're to be extending to people. Now, I want everyone in this room to understand that there is an opposition. Anytime you make a decision that you're going to do something for God, or you're going to rebuild your life, or you're going to do things God's way, you're going to face opposition. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says this. It says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So watch this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The word against means is the Greek word pros, P-R-O-S. And that means face to face. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So our battle is not face to face with people, ever. So it's not your spouse is your problem. It's not your teachers your problem. It's not your in-laws are your problem. It's not anyone else is your problem. Your problem is you can't see your problem, but you can understand it. Your problem is in the spiritual realm, and that's trying to keep you from your salvation. And then it says, but against principalities, against face to face with spiritual principles that aren't from God. They're established to get you away from God. Come on now, that's what we're facing. But against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. That's what you're facing. In other words, there's different levels of demonic forces marshaled against every one of you to keep you from the truth, to keep you from the salvation that God has for you. Now, I'm not just blowing air. I'm trying to help you out. This is why it can be difficult. This is why you had a problem coming to church today. This is why you went through so much just to get here. That's because there's other things opposing you, trying to keep you from it. Now, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. You see why it's so important? Because listen, all the light that you get in you from the Word of God, and it comes from the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God, the Word. And the Word was in him, right? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. You see, the more Word that we get in us, the more light we have. And the Bible says, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The word comprehend means to cannot seize, can't seize it, can't overcome it, can't bring it under its dominion. So in other words, and the darkness cannot seize it, overcome it, or bring it under its dominion. You see that? Those forces, the more light you get in you, now those forces can't bring you under their power and under their influence. So now you're free to be what God created you to be. Am I making sense? Come on. And what happens is, now listen, because here it is. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. The word workmanship means masterpiece. We are God's masterpieces, all of us. And it says that we were created before time began. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life, and he wants you to walk in that. Remember, we have been saved with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace. When we're doing his purpose, now we are in the light. Now we are becoming what we were created to be. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now, the word revealed means as an artist uncovers his masterpiece. God is the artist. He created us. He wants to uncover your life to you. But all these opposing forces are trying to keep you from seeing that. It's up to you to get in the light and walk in the light. Because the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light unless his deeds have been exposed. You see, the idea is we got to get in the light. The more we walk in the light, the enemy is confused. It can't have any power over us. And as we do that, then we're going to begin to see what our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, and haven't entered our heart yet about you. I'm becoming the real me, and I see it, and I know it. That's important, folks. What I just shared with you is a lot. And remember, it says the rulers of the darkness of this age. And that word age is where we get the word, it's the word cosmos. That's where we get the word cosmetic. And you know what cosmetics do, right? They make something appear to be something it's not. And that has a way of getting you away from what God was trying to get you to. The darkness rules in that. See that? For God so loved the world. That world is the same word, cosmos, cosmetic. He so loved. It doesn't say God loved the world. He didn't just love the cosmos. He so loved it because he wants to bring it under his dominion and what he created it for. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, that would be October, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out of the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. Okay, now we are going to talk today about prayer. And prayer is how Nehemiah got this accomplished. Billy Graham was asked, what is the strength of your ministry? Give us one word. He said, prayer. All those years in the past and today, he says, prayer is the strength. Now, prayer is not about doing my will and getting God to do my will in heaven. It's or you getting God to do your will in heaven. It's about us getting God to do his will here on earth through us. I got a little example here I want to show you. You all know what this is, right? Pinata. This, to me, is really communicates the way we approach God, kind of like with a ball bat. We want to go to him when we want something, and we just start hitting on God, right? We just hit on him and hit on him, right? We just keep hitting on him for what we want. And then we keep hitting on him. We start hitting a little harder, a little bit harder. Now, you kids can come up and clean that up. If some of you got a bunch, give it to somebody who didn't get some, because there's enough for everybody. All right. Did you see that? That's kind of the way we are. We keep hitting God until we get the goods. And we get the goods, and then we run back to our seat or we run back to our place. You know what I'm saying? And we get what we want, and we don't even want the pinata. None of them said, hey, I want the pinata. And that's where it came from, right? God wants you to want him, not just get the goods and run. You see that? Not just get the candy and get what you want, and then now God's in the rearview mirror, right? God wants you to want him, not just the stuff he can give you. That's what prayer is all about, is you getting to fellowship with him. And that's what he wants more than anything. He just wants us to be near to him. And when he feels that love from us, I guarantee, I bet he gets a little tear in his eye once in a while. He loves it when we want to be near him just because of who he is, right? It's a good feeling when somebody just wants to be close to you, right? Now, the disciples said, teach us to pray, not preach. They didn't say, help us to preach. No, they said, teach us to pray. Why? Because Jesus was always going off and praying. And they wondered where he was getting this power. He was always going off and praying. Prayer is not what you do to get God to do what you want. Now, I got a point. Number one is we need to begin our prayer with praise and thanksgiving. The Bible says in Psalms 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. So we're to come to God with praise. And we're to go to God. When we go to God, we need to come to him like we are glad to be there and honored to be there. And I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you, that pleases God. That pleases God. Now listen, look what it says in verse 5. This is Nehemiah, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. Look how he starts out. O great and awesome God, you are a great God. You are bigger than any problem we have, anything we're facing. That's what Nehemiah was saying. You are greater and bigger than any problem we face, and that's the way it is in our lives. God is greater and bigger than any problem we have or we're facing, any of us, no matter what you brought in here. God is greater. Now look what he says. Oh, great and God, you who keep your covenant. God keeps his covenant. God is a covenant God. He does not break his covenant. When he tells you something, that's it. You know, marriage is covenant. When you enter into a covenant, that's serious business. That is nothing to play with. You don't just hop from this one to this one, and it doesn't work that way. Well, you know, I got a divorce, so I need somebody. You need to fix yourself first before you enter into something, or you're going to drag a bunch of mess that you messed up first in. Now, so we need to praise. Go to God and praise, right? All right. Now, Psalms 147, it talks about, I had that written down. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The word beautiful there means becoming. In other words, praise is becoming on us. God likes to see praise on us. Now, number two, in verse 6, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Now listen. Confession of sins. If you're going to rebuild your life, you're going to have to face the facts, remember? You're going to have to be willing to confess your sins. Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah wasn't even born when this city was in ruin. He wasn't even born when all that was going on and all got started there. So he shows up. He's outside the community coming in. And he said, we have sinned and I have sinned. That, you know what that says? That says Nehemiah was humble and Nehemiah was taking inventory of his own life. Nehemiah knew that he had to deal with a sin before he could begin to rebuild anything that God was going to do. Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we, not they or them, we. See, it's not everybody else is the problem, right? It has to start with me. And he says, you both, my father's house, and I have sinned. Personal. I have sinned. Now, we have sinned. I have sinned. God said, if you forsake me and go after other gods, I'm gonna take the land from you in the Old Testament. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and expect God to bless you. There are going to be consequences. If you don't ever confess, your healing is not going to come. You're not going to be rebuilding anything. You're going to keep circulating in the problem, and you're not going to be able to rebuild. See, this is a principle of God, and that's why I'm trying to lay this groundwork, because we're going to move forward, and we're going to really see some changed lives. Now listen, you can't just do what you want to do. If I'm not willing to confess my sins, then I'm not going to be able to rebuild. We must confess our lust. We must confess our bitterness. We must confess our pride. We must confess our resentment. We must confess our jealousy. We must confess our greed. And then God can deal with it. And you can deal with it. But if you're not willing to face it, it's just going to keep you in bondage and captivity. You're not going to be able to rebuild. But if you're willing to face it and confess it, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the idea of confession. And when we really confess, man, it brings healing. It really does. You know, people don't like to pray. If you're gonna rebuild, this is the way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen just because you go to church. You have to make a decision. Number three, prayer incorporates the word of God. Verse 8, look what Nehemiah says. Remember, I pray the word that you command your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. God loves it when you bring the word of God to remembrance to God. When you remind God of what he has said, when you remind him of his promises, God likes that. That's why the only way you're going to learn how to pray the word is to be in the word. That's why I have you bring your Bibles. That's why we're not going to have scriptures up on the screens. You're going to bring your Bibles, and we're going to be familiar with our Bibles. We're going to know where to turn. We're going to be familiar with them. If we don't know the word, we're not going to know how to pray. So we have to remind God of his promises. Reading the word. I always remind him of his promise. I used to pray over my kids. I pray that you would fill them, Colossians 1:9, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would have a walk worthy of you, Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that they would be strengthened with all your might according to your glorious power, with patience, long-suffering, and joy, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You see, it all comes in the light. The inheritance is going to come in the light. And that's where God is going to be ruling in your life, and no longer the darkness. You are going to claim and get a hold of what God has for you in rebuilding your life as you remind God of his promises. Am I making sense? I heard Joel Osteen the other night. He was talking about how all his ancestors went on before him, and they laid all the groundwork before him, and now he's reaping everything that they have sown. I'm here to tell you, that's all been prayer. That's why a lot of people want to look at his life now. That's all a result of other people obeying God's word and him obeying it and continuing in it and walking in the light. That's the way it is for us. We need to remind God of his word, of his promises. Go with me quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. You see that? He's saying, bring it to your mind. Call it to mind. The word of God, God's way, will, his ways. Bring it to your mind. Bring it to the mind of God. Am I making sense? Go with me quickly to Psalms 37:19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And that word satisfied means prosper. They shall prosper in the days of famine. Folks, we're in a famine. We're in a what the world calls a economic crisis. But the people who are in the light, they're going to prosper in the famine. The church. And when we're connected and working together, that's all going to start working together. And we're all going to start prospering. And we're all going to continue. No matter what's going on out there, we are going to continue. Because we're going to remind God of his promises. He will prosper you in the middle of a famine. That's all through the scripture. But we got to keep reminding him, right? Have you ever heard of that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it? That is not biblical. Here's the way it needs to be. We need to find it in God's word and claim it. We need to find the answer for the problem we're going through, or that one that addresses the problem we're going through, and claim it. And stand on it, and God will bring it through in your life. That's why it says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. We inherit those promises through faith and patience. We've got to be patient at times. Now, number four, we need to ask God for great things. Let's look at verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. Talking about him. He said, I want to prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He is praying to God how King Artaxerxes is going to deal with him in letting him go to Jerusalem to rebuild this wall. He's praying for favor from King Artaxerxes. And his request is, send me. Now, Nehemiah could not leave his post without the approval of King Artaxerxes. We need to pray great things and expect great things from God. I'm believing God for great things. You got to believe God and you got to stay with it. We need to pray for great things because we have a great and awesome God. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. The power that works in us. We got to let that power work in us and expect great things. Expect great things. And I'm expecting great things. I'm driving up here. I'm thinking, I'm expecting great things. Nothing's going to surprise me because I'm expecting great things. That's the way we should approach God in prayer all the time. We know you can do it. You can do it. I can't do it on my own. I need you.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.